Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Our congregation, let us sing together a Psalter 4, the four stanzas. O Jehovah, hear my words, to my thoughts attentive be. Hear my cry, my King, my God. I will make my prayer to thee, and what follows. Psalter 11, the four stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Proverbs 1, the verses 7 through 33. First, we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Proverbs 1, beginning with the 7th verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us look privily for the innocent without cause, Oh, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. Oh, we shall find all precious substance. Oh, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They look privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. As she crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calumny. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. We hope to remember in prayer Ryan Tichelaar, who had surgery and wasn't able to return to his home on Tuesday, and Elsbeth van Oort, who was also home from the hospital, where she may return Thursday. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then it has pleased thee in thy great and condescending mercy to grant unto us and our children another Sabbath day, and yet for a part of the congregation an opportunity to come up to thy courts. That was not possible the past Sabbath day, where thou wast spoken in the realm of nature, and where there none that can stay thy hand, or say unto thee, what doest thou? Then we remember those that have lost livestock. Wilt thou remember? Wilt thou uphold and wilt thou help? And then what a privilege and what a blessing it is that in the winter season that thou granteth unto us and our children a warm home, where we may be sheltered from the elements. Lord, may it please thee in this morning hour to grant a deep and an abiding impression of all thy goodness and of thy mercy and of thy patient long-suffering, where in the past week then thou wast cared, then thou wast spared, then thou hast protected, then thou hast provided, then thou wast not taken one away by the cold hand of death. There have been weeks when it has been so different. And may we be given to consider against all thy mercies our sins, which are great and manifold, O Lord. Wilt thou come down with thy Holy Spirit in this morning hour, and that it may be experienced what we have sung together with the psalmist, that he was given to cry unto thee, and then he may confess, my God and my King, Lord, a word is missing, wilt thou grant it, may the desires be fulfilled. And then the psalmist was also given to raise his eyes unto thee. Then he has received that childlike trust and to entrust everything into thy hands, O Lord. Then it is all a gift from above, which thy dear Son has merited for his church. Because of self, then there is nothing but sin, vanity. Then there is darkness, oh, that awful stillness, where the wind of thy spirit doth not blow, whether the north wind or whether the south wind. And then the sun can arise and shine, but then there can be so much of the world in between, and the clouds of unbelief, and thou hast a people upon the earth, where that becomes their care and their burden, and they are given to cry unto thee, O confessing, that it is all their own fault, that they have no rights, that thou would be right, if thou would come with greater judgments. And yet a people that cannot miss thee, and O Lord, alas, then also in the life of thy children, then they can continue in that condition for such a long time. But may it please thee to revive thine own work, and that the darkness may disappear, that thou may blow with thy north and with thy south wind. And thou wast promised unto thy true people, but unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with his wings, Lord. May it please thee to bless thy word to that end in this morning, and in this day the prophet of old has declared, and not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, and may it please thee to accompany thy word with the mighty and loving work of thy Holy Spirit, and that by the first time and by renewal, because without the workings of thy Spirit, then it is so cold, and then it is so dead, and then it is so quiet. And we humbly ask thee, Lord, may it please thee in this very hour That boys and girls, our young people, the middle-aged and the elderly ones, that they may be powerfully wrought upon, that they may come unto themselves, and that they may be given to cry mightily unto Thee, whether it is possible for such a sinner as I am to be converted unto Thee, Lord. We need to be born again. We need to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of Thy dear Son. That is the only foundation. Wilt Thou spare that we build not upon false foundations? And wilt Thou remember Thy people? May they be administered out of Thy fullness and receive grace for grace. And may there then be a rich ingathering in Thy church on this Sabbath day over the length and the breadth of the earth. And may the kingdom of Satan be disturbed, and may it be diminished, and may Thy glorious kingdom, may it be multiplied, that many may be brought within the fold. May we and our children be included in that number, because what shall it be to have lived under such a precious truth, under such precious invitations, and then to have refused, and then to have to go lost forever, Lord? Thou knowest that it is all Thy work. Thou art the first, Thou art the ending. And to that end, may it please Thee in Thy free and sovereign grace to remember us and our dear children in these solemn and serious times where Thou speakest in so many ways, and where the virus is still spreading upon the face of the earth, then Thou art showing unto the inhabitants that Thou art the ruler supreme, and may the inhabitants of the earth be given to bow, and to be given to worship, given to repent, and may we and our children be given to turn unto Thee, and that under all Thy callings, but also under Thy goodness, that Thou may be mindful of us, and that it may work something for Thy honor and for Thy glory. Lord, then in the past week, then Thou wast being a wonder-doing God, where a young man has went to the hospital with many fears to undergo a very serious operation, and then the physicians, they have discovered that Thou wast done for him what they were hoping to do, and to that end the surgery was not so long, and he may return the following day, Lord. Wilt Thou then grant the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and that is not found in our natural heart, and may it then be Thy goodness that may be used in the midst of his life, in the midst of the family circle, for true conversions. A mother that has went to the hospital already so many times, then she was allowed to return. Lord, Thou knowest the circumstances. Wilt Thou graciously remember her together with her husband and children? Wilt Thou grant courage and strength? And may the callings be sanctified. Wilt Thou remember all under the physician's care, those with the dreaded disease, and may the inner chambers be filled. Wilt Thou remember all the mourning ones amongst us, there are so many, of recent time, but also of an earlier time, where many wounds have been reopened, Lord. Then we commend them all unto Thee, give yet a bowing at Thy footstool, and when they are overwhelmed, And may they tell thee all, and O Lord, above all things, that the solemn speaking of death, that it may be used amongst us and our children, that we may be given to hasten for our life's sake, and to be given to seek for that one thing needful. We remember all our elderly ones, those in the care home, with those that care for them, those that dwell in their home, those that may still go in and out. We commend them unto thee for body and for soul. Wilt thou provide for our daily bread? Remember the crosses, the burdens. Remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. And now, Lord, we humbly beg of thee for thy help. May our eyes be upon thee. May our expectation be from thee alone. And may thy word go forth with power divine. And may it please thee to go from heart to heart, oh, from bench to bench, from dwelling to dwelling. Leave none untouched. Give us not over to the hardness of the heart, but may it please thee to bless thy word, that many may be drawn unto thee, O Lord. There is not one that can resist thy love and that can resist thy grace. It is written, I, the Lord, will work, and who shall let it? Wilt thou graciously take away everything that could be a hindrance, impress it upon all our hearts, that thou would be righteous to pass us by? But, O Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and thou hast written in thy holy word that thou wilt be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them, O Lord. Do it then for us and our children. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 97, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. A little that the righteous hold is better far than wealth untold. Of many wicked men destroyed shall be their arm of pride, but they who in the Lord confide shall be upholden then. And what follows? 97, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, then by renewal we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which can be found in Luke 15, the verses 11 through 16. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Our text words speak of the prodigal son leaving his father with four thoughts. In the first place, the dissatisfied son. In the second place, the demanding son. In the third place, the wasting son. And in the fourth place, the needy son. Beloved congregation, 2 weeks ago we have heard that Christ has spoken three parables with much instruction, and that in the context of what the Pharisees have spoken, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Has that ever become given for encouragement? Has that ever become a wonder? And who is it now for that may receive encouragement from such words? That is those who have learned by the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit that they are sinners, yea, indeed, that they are great sinners, boys and girls, young and old. Have you now ever become a sinner in the sight of a holy and a good-doing God? Have you ever began? Have you ever learned to cry because of your many sins? Have you experienced that separation? Have you have learned that the Lord would be so righteous to cast you forever into eternal perdition? Oh, have you learned by the further enlightening of the Holy Spirit that you can never save yourself? Because in this chapter, then the necessity is stressed of that upright, that true, that genuine repentance that the Holy Spirit works in the heart of his people. Oh, what a wonderful message that he, that is that precious Lord Jesus Christ, that he receiveth sinners and that he eateth with them. Oh, the love of Christ, that he was willing to leave his father's house, that he was willing to come upon this earth, to assume our human nature, that he was willing to pay the price, that he was willing to satisfy justice, that the chiefest of sinners may be saved. And then we have heard that the first two parables, that speaks of the work from the Lord's side. And now in our parable, how it is experienced in the heart and the lives of his children, that they are restored into that blessed communion. Then the first parable, that is 1 in 100, that is not so many boys and girls, and that speaks of a silly and a wandering sheep. The second, that speaks of 1 in 10, thus that 1 in 10, that is a smaller amount from 1 in 100, but that is a coin. That is unconscious that the coin was lost. But now in our parable, then it speaks of 2 sons, thus 1 of 2, and then we are called to examine ourselves, how it is with us and our children traveling to that never-ending eternity. Oh, those 2 sons, they both needed the same thing. And those 2 sons, that younger son, he had much pride. But that older son, oh, he had plenty of pride. And now it is necessary that by the grace of God, that we are humbled, that we are given to repent, and that we are saved through that precious mediator. And then we read, and he said, a certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Then in Bible times, then the oldest son, then he received the greatest portion, a double portion. Thus that means that the oldest son would receive 2/3 and the younger son 1/3. And then it is thought that perhaps that younger son at a certain time, that he perhaps had a certain right, that he would ask for his own portion and that he would begin his own farm. But now in the parable before us, then it is clearly stated the reason why he has asked for his portion. Oh, that younger son, he could not wait. He could not even wait a little longer. He was not willing to listen to the instruction of his father. Then the last time we have mentioned from Pilgrim's Progress, that Christian was brought into the house of interpreter, and there in a room he saw 2 little children sit on their chair. The oldest was Patience, and the youngest was Passion. And the youngest child, that he could not wait for the time that he would receive his goods. And then John Bunyan in his book, then he has especially written of the next year, the new year. Thus then he was speaking of eternity. Thus then that child Passion, he was only thinking of the time, and he was not thinking of a soul. He was not thinking of that never-ending eternity. And how it is clear in our parable that younger son, that he was not thinking of his father and of his older brother, but that he was only thinking of self. That is the center letter of sin. That is that great I that wants to be on the throne. And to that end, it is clear that that younger son, that he was dissatisfied. Oh, surely then his father, his parents, then they have cared for him well. If we would ask that son, son, lackest thou anything? Is it not well when you may work on your father's farm? Oh, then he would have to admit that he has received many blessings, that his father was so good for him, but it is clear that that son was dissatisfied. Perhaps he did not like his father's eye over him. He did not like his father's laws. Oh, he had the wrong conception of freedom. He thought no laws, then there shall be freedom. That is also the thought of society. Oh, it is true. That is the thought of fallen man. We want to be kings. We want to be on the throne. But the Lord, in his great wisdom, then he has given us his laws for our goodness, for the welfare of mankind. But oh, that son, then he was given to look abroad. He was given to look at grass on the other side of the fence that looks so much greener. And to that end, oh, what a dangerous thing that this satisfaction is for us and our children, especially for our youth. Oh, it is true. It has started in paradise. There Satan, as the tempter, has come. Then he has tried to raise dissatisfaction in the mind and heart of Eve. Have God said that ye may not eat of any of the trees in the garden? Ah, the Lord has only said one. All the rest of the garden, that was for the use of Adam and Eve. And then Satan has questioned Eve further. Oh, that there should be an increase of knowledge to be as gods. And therefore she has taken, and our covenant head Adam has taken of that fruit, and we have plunged herself into the deepest misery. Ah, that youngest son, then he was forgetting all his blessings that he has received on his farm. Oh, it is true, he was called to work. Adam was also called to work, even in the state of rectitude, to keep the garden. And what a blessing that work is. It is true, in Genesis 3, verse 17, we must labor in the sweat of our face. There are many trials. Oh, then the prodigal son, then he could not bow under the authority of the Father and under the Lord. Our second thought, the demanding son. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Whether the father saw it coming, many times it goes in a gradual way. Dissatisfaction, not so much respect for God's word, prayer becomes less, maybe more silent. It is also possible that it has come as a surprise and a shock for father when his son has given this request. He did not ask in a kind way. He says, Father, give me. Thus that son was declaring his rights, was about himself, did not think of his father, and did not think about the Lord, about his soul, did not worry whether he would grieve his father. He did not say, Father, I am becoming older. Would it be possible that I would start a little farm myself, perhaps share some things? Would it be possible in that way that I could even give more to the poor and do more for the kingdom of God? Then it is clear in this parable that there is nothing of those things in the mind of that prodigal son. But then he has said, give me, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me. Then that son, I did not worry whether it would be detrimental for his father's farm. He did not worry about his older brother concerning the labors. It was all about self. And now, congregation, then in this history of the prodigal son, then it is declared the picture of fallen man, but also the wonders of free and sovereign grace. And now it is so necessary, when we are given to consider the parable of the prodigal son, then we must ask ourselves, Lord, is it I? And then it does not have to be literally, I hope, young people, that you do not grieve your parents, and that you may often think of the blessings that the Lord granteth unto you above most of the young people upon the world. Ah, that prodigal son, then he did not think of the instruction which he has received from his father. Then he did not think of the love of his mother. Because what a love that a mother bestows upon her children when we think of the night watches. Oh, then that son, then he had a desire to be away from this eye of his father, that his father would not see what he was doing. Then he had a desire that he would be away from under all the instruction, but also the discipline of his father. Ah, then that son, do you know what he thought, congregation? That he could manage everything better than his father. And then when we go deeper into this parable, then who shall dare to place himself above that prodigal son? Oh, it is true. In the Lord's providence, when everything goes smooth and when we do not have so many trials, then in general we do not have so many questions concerning the Lord's providence. Although if it was only right, then we should. Because when we consider our sins and our unthankfulness, and then when we consider all the Lord's goodness in his providence, should it then not be a wonder how it is possible that the Lord grants so much good and so many blessings to one as I am? But when the Lord sends trials and difficulties, then in the natural heart, then that submission is not found. Then when we consider these things, must we not say in this morning, Lord, is it now I? Because the natural heart shall never bow and shall never agree with the leadings of the Lord. Ah, the Lord has a people upon the earth that learns that it is so. What a grace to let God be God. And then how we resemble that younger son. Give, not as in the way of the Lord's Prayer, in a way of dependency and in the way of acknowledging that the Lord is everything in his hands, and in the way of trust, but in the way of give, that it may all come toward me. Thus, a demanding son. Our third point, the wasting son. And then it has become evident what all lay in the thoughts of that younger son. Did not take so long, because not many days hence, then it is written, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. then undoubtedly, then the Father has spoken, then the Father has begged, then the Father tried to instruct, then undoubtedly there were tears in the eyes of Father when he realized the reason and the purpose why the Son has asked for his portion, for his inheritance, that he could leave his Father's house. What a grief that must have given to that Father. And when the mother is not mentioned, but what a grief that grants to parents when that son has converted all his goods or most of his goods into cash, and that he had a desire that he would depart from his Father's house, from his Father's prayer, from his Father's instruction, from the many blessings which he has received, that he was trampling upon his Father's heart. But that prodigal son, he was only thinking of himself and congregation. That is now the picture of fallen man. I hope, my dear young friends, that you never become a prodigal son and daughter in an outward way, to leave the precious truth where it may be declared, how the Lord gathers his church by free and sovereign grace, but a hope for all of us, that in a spiritual way, that we may learn something of that life. It is true, the Lord leads the one deeper than another, but they all learn the same truths. Then they learn through their sins that they have sinned against such a just and against such a good-doing God, that they have transgressed against all the commandments, yea, that they are transgressors from the womb. Then they learn what a terrible thing that sin is. Oh, sins of omission, sins of commission. Oh, when the Lord uncovers us, then we do not place ourselves. Oh, it is true, we repeated a blessing when the Lord spares us outwardly from turning our back upon the Lord. We have read out of Proverbs 1, oh, my son, when sinners entice thee, consent thee not. Oh, hearken to the instruction of thy father. Then we have heard out of Proverbs 1 what a terrible thing it is to refuse the instruction of the Lord. Nevertheless, when the Lord uncovers us, then we become the sinner. Then it becomes true. Then we learn that we have learned just for self, that we have not heeded the many callings of the Lord. Oh, how that father must have begged the son that he would consider his ways, that he would yet wait a little while, that he would consider all the blessings that he may have on his father's farm. But the son was so set in his way. Oh, is that not a picture of natural man? Do we not read that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked? And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And you can understand it, boys and girls, when that son was leaving, how that father, that he has stood looking, tears, prayers, O Lord, wilt thou remember my poor son that is leaving the dwelling, the vicinity, the church, under the external administration of the covenant, that he is turning his back upon all. It is true, he has not stated it. Nevertheless, it is clear in his life that it is the enmity against thee, against authority, that he is leaving, but no begging, no tears, no admonishments, no examples would turn that son around. And how is it now with us, congregation? Lord speaks in so many ways. The first place through his holy word, providence, his blessings, afflictions, the callings of death, and have we turned unto the Lord? Do we think of these things oftentimes, congregation? Have we thought the last months? What must now the Lord do to turn my heart? That is a good question to consider and to lay it before the Lord and to tell the Lord, Lord, under all thy goodness, all thy blessings, all the afflictions, all the serious callings, Lord, then I still resemble, oh, with the prayer, wilt thou keep me, that I do not become angry, because it can also be an anger that we turn our back to the truth, but that we have to confess, oh, Lord, still goes about this big I, not so concerned about my soul, about thy glory, and upon the coming of thy kingdom, ach Lord, wilt thou then work lovingly and irresistibly with thy Holy Spirit in my heart, that I may be turned unto thee, that I may come unto myself, because, ach Lord, thou leavest me to myself, then I shall only wander further and further away from thee, and then this hard heart, that shall only become harder and harder. And Lord, there is only a step between me and death. May it then please thee to teach me what that young son, what he was taught later in this parable, that he has come to himself. And now that son, he hoped in that far country that he would become happy. And we know, boys and girls, that that son would only become miserable, because in that far country, far away from the authority of our parents, that we do not honor them, and far away from the church, from the truth, we shall never be happy. And that happiness, that is only for a short time, and many times very short. And now we read, and took his journey into a far country. Maybe in that far country, there were even people that thought, boy, what are you now doing in this far country? You had such a good place on your father's farm. Part of the farm would be yours. A good livelihood, you were cared for, provision, you lack nothing, you have been born under the truth, that is where you belong, because it can be that worldly people, when church people come on places where they do not belong, maybe a movie theater, a bar, that even in the world they are a little shocked. And that they even think, when people from the church come to those places, that you do not belong here, that they even think, what is the world now coming to? When people on the Sabbath, they are under the truth, and during the week they come in that far country in places where they do not belong. And then we read, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Oh, he had money enough, the so-called friends, not true friends. Because later we hear that when he came and went, that not one of those friends has come to help, and a friend is one that not only stands at her side when there is prosperity, but that also stands at her side and helps us when we come in great need and when the wants are multiplied. Thus he wasted his substance with riotous living. That word wasted, that is a solemn word. And now let us turn it unto ourself. Do we waste anything, congregation? Are we ever exercised with wasting? And what can we all waste? Let us first speak of our time. What a precious thing that time is. The time that the Lord grants unto us and our children between the cradle and the grave. And the Lord grants much to do. We must do it with all our might. Children helping their parents at school, mothers in the home, fathers at work. Wherever the Lord has given us a place, what a blessing it is when the Lord grants health and strength, that the Lord still gives work to do. But he wasted all his substance, wasting our time. Do we ever think of our time, congregation, and how we use it? Does not mean that we may not have some leisure time. We are not made of steel. We are flesh and blood. But now to be given to consider our time, how we use it, and that we think not only of our body, but also of our soul, then I think, congregation, then we are given to see that in that prodigal son, that we can draw many lines, all to our own lives. Each Saturday night, when the Lord has spared us, and that is also a wonder, on Saturday night, so many people, so many different circumstances, so many dangers. And when the Lord has all spared us, we've had many Saturday nights in the past when it was so different. And then do we think back upon our week, how we have spent it? And now we read that that prodigal son has wasted his time, then we as a people, then it is a blessing that we may be very diligent concerning the timely things. But the Lord has said to Martha in Luke 10, the verses 40 and 41, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, that was said to a dear child of the Lord, oh, young and old, do we many times think another week, another month of my time that is gone. It shall never come back here in the time. We can never do it over again. Must give an account, and that much closer to a never-ending eternity. Oh, must each and every one of us not confess concerning the wasting of our time. We could speak of our talents, the talents which the Lord has given us. The one is given to the one more than another, and that we also improve our talents. Christ has given the parable of those different talents that we are called to be responsible and useful, but also the purpose, what we use our talents for. And I repeat it, a blessing, the calling which the Lord has given us in this life. Let us remember, congregation, let us not separate our religion on the Sabbath day and our devotions from our daily work so much. It is true, there is a difference. But let us remember that also our work and our labors, that is also part of our religion of serving the Lord. And when we consider each and every one our hearts, is there then one that can say that we have used our talents as we ought, and not only for the timely things, but that we may be given to seek the Lord? Oh, then each and every one of us has to say, "Oh Lord." Then I find my picture in the life of that prodigal son. Then could we not speak of the wasting of sermons? Heard so many sermons, but that we were not given to meditate, not followed by prayer, that many times the sermon was forgotten, congregation, when the Lord works. Then we hope to hear with that prodigal son, it has all come back, wasted this substance with riotous living. Then we could speak of our goods. It is a blessing when we are frugal. We could speak of wasting opportunities, and it is true, many times after an opportunity, then we are given to think, what a beautiful opportunity I had to speak to my fellow man or to help my fellow man, and to that end the necessity of much and unceasing prayer. He wasted his substance. May it lead to much prayer, that the Lord may help. Let us first sing. A Psalter 18, the verses 3, 4, and 5. The wicked things in foolish pride, there is no God who will repay. He has no fear of God or man, because God's judgments long delay. And what follows, Psalter 18, 3, 4, and 5. Thank you. Father, the dissatisfied Son, the demanding Son, the wasting Son, and now the needy Son. Then everything is not recorded what that Son has done. It is written, but right as living, if everything was recorded, that would not be edifying. Then that Son was living in a state of separation, in a state of wickedness, in a state of thoughtlessness, a state not satisfied, and he was traveling to eternity. What do you think, congregation? What do you think, boys and girls? If we would have visited that Son in that far country, and we would have asked him, Son, now you have to be honest. Are you no happy in that far country? What do you think, boys and girls, young people? If that Son was honest, that he would have said, it is true, sin for a short time, it can give sweetness, otherwise the flesh would not go after that sin. But read in God's word that there is no peace to the wicked. Undoubtedly, then that Son in that far country, when he was living that wicked life, living it out, we would say, in our time with his friends, not thinking so much of God, that there were those times that his conscience has still spoken. An impression, maybe he could not sin always so easy, that there were even times that those friends thought, why is now that boy out of that far country? Why is he a little quieter tonight? But if we persist in sin, then that conscience shall become quieter and quieter. What an awful condition to be. But then the Lord has come with his trials. And when he had spent all, he was not frugal. He thought that his money would never come to an end, and not given regard to what we read in Titus 2 verse 3, teaching us that denying all ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this evil world. Then we see the bitterness of sin. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then during that famine, then commodities and food that has become scarce, the prices have went up, and he has wasted all that money. Then when that famine came, how that Son must have thought of his father's house, how we must have thought of the third of that inheritance, how much he has received. Had he not squandered it all, then he would still have money now in that famine, that he may purchase food and live. But then we see in this parable just judgments and tribulations and trials and difficulties in themselves that will never convert us. Then we see in this parable, in these parables, but in this parable, the necessity of the loving and the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Son, return to now your father's house and tell him how wrong and how sinful you have been. Ah, that awful pride of the natural human heart. We have mentioned it. this necessary congregation, that we learn both of that older son and that younger son, that it is all experienced, and not only once, but each time by renewal, all concerning that older son, that awful pride, concerning that younger son, oh, in the life of God's people, when they are in the way of backsliding, that tender, that close, that dependent life is missing, not needing Christ as their prophet, their priest, and their king. Arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then, congregation, we see what a bitter thing that sin is. May that deeply be impressed upon all our hearts, the hearts of young and old, and that the Lord shall not be mocked, and therefore the necessity, because this parable that is given for encouragement, oh, he receiveth sinners and eateth with them, that for those prodigal sons, that there is a way to be saved. Oh, when the Lord works, then it is the work of the Holy Spirit, that we may be given to live in our great want. Can be many times the Lord uses afflictions and the callings of death accompanied with his holy word, that his kingdom may come, but also concerning that outward want, that the Lord can use it, that sinners may be brought at his footstool. And now that son, instead of returning to his father, then we read, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, that faraway country, away from the truth, where they did not reckon with God, maybe not so much spoken, although on account of that innate knowledge, when the Lord sends judgments, then even among the heathen, an impression that the Lord is speaking, even under special judgments, that the world is even given to confess that there is a God. But now, this famine that did not immediately bring him closer to the Lord, but we would even say further away, because he joined himself to a citizen of that far country congregation, we cannot remain the same also under the judgments of the Lord, either hardened or humbled. And joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. What a humiliation for a Jewish son that has come from a father who was well to do, from a son who was given to labor many years on that farm, and now to join himself to a citizen of that far country and to take care of swine. And our boys and girls know that a pig was an unclean animal for the Jews, that he has come to such a lowly station. And then we also read, to increase his misery, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine, when we think of husk in our day, then we think of corn. But in the original, it refers to a pod that grew on a certain tree. And now those pods, they were fed to swine. It had a dull, sweet taste. And then that son, when he was feeding those swine, then he was given to look at those pigs, and they could still fill their belly. And he was so hungry, he had a desire that he could eat with those pigs. but it was not given unto him. Then he has come to a very sad and a lowly station, but without the grace of God, then he would remain in that far country, but yet he was still in the day of the living. He was still in the day of grace. Could still come a change. When we are lost, congregation, then that is final. Then there shall never come a change. Oh, then we shall be given to think of what that son has experienced concerning the wasting of our time, talents, goods, opportunities, sermons, a whole eternity to reflect upon those solemn matters. But then a change shall and can never come. For that son, he was still in the precious day of grace. So we and our children are still in that precious time. And now in that following verse, then we read of precious things. The Lord grants that we hope to consider that in the future. Ah, the way that the Lord works in the heart of the children of men, that they may come to themselves. Has that now ever taken place, congregation, in our life? And have we now ever become that older son and that younger son? Because when the Lord works, then we become both. And then we learn that we need the wonderful things of the Lord glorified in our heart. Then we shall begin to cry in that far country. We hope to hear in the following verses what that son has experienced. The wonderful grace of God. And then for that people, they do not learn it so fast. That son, he has first sought it to solve his problems himself. When the Lord stops us, then we come in that workhouse. And then we hope, even in the land of famine, that by our works that we can satisfy the Lord, but the Spirit shall teach his people that by the works of the law no flesh shall and can ever be satisfied. And now for that people, are there a few sons in our midst that you have said this morning, "Ach, Lord, I may not place myself above those two sons. When I consider my life, that awful pride, then I have learned that I am the older son. I have learned that that younger son all lives within me. Oh, Lord, I have learned that I am lost and all my own fault." But then what a wonder that in the context of this parable, these parables, it may be declared, concerning that precious Lord Jesus Christ, he receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may it please thee by thy Holy Spirit that we are that older, that we are that younger son. We also humbly ask thee, Lord, spare our dear youth, spare us all, because the devil, he is so strong. We live in a time of so many temptations to draw us away from thy word, from thy institutions, from thy truth. Oh, spare us that outwardly, literally, that we do not do as that younger son, but Lord, we beg thee, do teach us that through our sins, through our deep fallen Adam, that we may all learn that we are that younger son in that far country, separated from thee and from thy favor, that we may all come to ourselves here in the time before we come to ourselves in eternity. Lord, watch over us on the Sabbath day. Remember in this afternoon, wilt thou help, remember the brother elder. Wilt thou grant opening at the throne of grace, help him to read. May it be blessed. Give a prayer for one another. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 114, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Since, O my God, my soul is bowed in exile far, with bitter grief I turn my thoughts to thy abode. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. The extra collection next week is for the Student Support Fund, and my eye surgery will be scheduled for another time. 114, the stanzas 5 through 8. The banner of truth is at the exit. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.